Good evening. We're going to take your favorites tonight, and we haven't done this for a while, so you look through the hymn book, pick out a favorite song that you want us to sing, and we'll sing yours. But I'm going to open tonight with 459, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 459. If you found it and are able, would you stand with me as we sing, all right? 459.
What a fellowship, what a joy divinely lasting on. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the lasting on. Leaning, leaning, and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting on. To walk in this pilgrim way on the everlasting arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, the everlasting. Lasting arms, what have I to dread, what I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, and secure from all alarm,
David, will you open the service in prayer for us?
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here tonight and joy to worship you, hear from your word, to sing together, and to pray together. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Who will be first with their favorite? Caleb, you have one? Not yet. Dave? 514. 13. I saw Jesus in you.
When I entered heaven's glory, and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years praise. Then I'll find that special one, in whose life I saw God's Son. And through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. To be in your God, I saw his care, I could see his love was there, who were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
Hopefully that should be what all of us aspire to do, others see Jesus in us. Who's next? Nan. 548. Servant's heart.
Make me a servant like you, dear Lord, living for others each day. Humble and meek, helping the weak, loving in all that I sing. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Is my life take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Help me, draw so close to you, that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Someone else. Someone else.
336.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he free.
Someone else. 460. He leadeth me.
He leadeth me, a blessed thought, O Lord, with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Someone else. Wendy. 411. The solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Wendy's birthday today? Happy birthday, Wendy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wendy. Happy birthday to you.
29? Plus. Who's next? Christy. 504. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Someone else. Josh? 482? Okay. 482. Far away the noise of strife, dwelling in Beulah Land.
Far away the noise of strife, hard my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubts and fears and things of earth within to me are calling. None of these shall move me, from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I'm dwelling in Beulah Land.
Someone else. Brenda. 246. Calvary covers it all.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart, 'twas the message that came to my heart. Oh, that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Someone else, a couple more. Yes. 247, next page over. The old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
One more. 510. Walk worthy of the Lord.
Walk worthy of the Lord. Come, give your heart to Christ. Live always bearing fruit for him. Live strengthened in his might. Walk worthy of the Lord. All power to his name.
Thank you for your singing.
I want to thank Mackie again for playing for us. If you're here early, hear the prelude music that she chooses to play, and it's always a blessing. Thank you, Mackie. Just a reminder, on the 2nd of June, we're having our anniversary picnic, celebrating the church's, what would it be, 56th anniversary of their existence here, starting out in June of 68. And there's a sign-up sheet for things to bring. So take a look at that and pick out what you would like to bring, and encourage you to do that. There'll be no evening service next Sunday night or the following Sunday night as well. So look forward to the morning together. Couple of prayer requests just to make mention of, so I don't forget. Joe Helfenstein had a follow-up appointment today. They removed the drain. He won't need to follow up again unless he has a problem. And labs came back, no cancer. So that is a great news for Joe. Pray for those who are traveling. Felicia is on her way to Uruguay. Pray for Brother Jeff Straub. He's on his way back from Alaska. We got people flying all over the world. David and his family will be heading up to Moorhead on Friday to be there over the weekend, so pray for safety for them as they travel as well. All right, we're turning to Proverbs 22. Some of the songs that we sang this evening fit very well. Steve, that's no surprise how the Lord directs in that. We're looking at verse 1 here as we talk about a godly testimony. Walk worthy of the Lord, the song we just sang, obviously points us toward this pursuit of a godly testimony on a daily basis, to walk worthy of the Lord. Give me some names of those in the Bible that we could consider have had a godly testimony. Abraham, he's a friend of God. Yeah? You'd be one? Nehemiah? Okay. Any others? All right, we're going to talk about Enoch. Hebrews 11 talks about the fact that before his translation, he had this testimony that he did what? How does it end? He pleased God. And if we have a godly testimony on a regular basis, then I believe that we are going to be walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called, and we'll be pleasing to him, pleasing to the Lord. I think of Ruth. She had a godly testimony. Others as well. There are many that we could give as examples. But you go to any place where there are multitudes of people, and you're going to discover that there are all kinds of people in this world. By the way, before we go any further, I want to welcome Zach with us this evening, visiting with us. And Zach, give us a little opportunity at the end of the service, after we pray, to greet you and get to know you better. And we're glad for your presence this evening. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, it's a wisdom book written mostly by Solomon. And it's about different kinds of people and their response to one another. How do they relate to one another? What they believe and how they behave. We create circumstances as we live each day that are either going to be good or bad. And we need to know how to deal with them as we go through life. And Solomon had a purpose here in writing the book of Proverbs, and that was to help us to become skillful in relating to people and circumstances so that our lives would be lived in such a way that we'll be successful in the eyes of Almighty God. Successful not in the eyes of men, because we are not here to please men, right? We're here to please God. But successful in his eyes. Joshua was a man who was encouraged to be strong and of good courage. Don't allow this book of the law to depart from you. Meditate upon it day and night. Then thou shalt be prosperous and you will have good success. Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 basically describe the characteristics of five kinds of people. The fool, and that describes and is that group of people is described throughout the book of Proverbs. It also describes the wise. You remember the Sunday school lessons that we went through in the book of Proverbs? The way of the wicked and the way of the wise. There's the wicked, the simple, and the scorner as well. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, I think, gives to us and describes the aspirations of a wise man or woman who desires to please the Lord with his or her life. So this is what it says. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let's pray together. Father, as we look into your word this evening, help us, Lord, to focus upon how we can relate to others in a godly way, but especially, Father, how we can serve you and live for you in such a way as to please you. Your grace teaches us how to do that. So help us to be good students in that school of grace, because it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, because we have a great motivation. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming soon. So, Lord, help us to focus our life daily on pleasing you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are the aspirations of a wise individual who desires to develop a faithful testimony before the Lord? Well, we're going to look at, I think, about eight of them this evening. The first is found in Proverbs 1 and verse 5. So we're going to turn back to Proverbs 1 and verse 5. As Solomon begins to write, I think that most of what he is writing are instructions to his own son, Rehoboam, but they're certainly applicable to all of us as well. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man will hear and increase learning. I wonder, does that describe your aspiration as a child of God? That you're going to hear God's word and increase in your understanding of what he says? And not only that, but then to apply it in your life on a daily basis. Wise people listen to the instructions of God's word. Jesus, you remember, warns us to heed what we hear. What does he say? Let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, we all have ears if we're not handicapped in some way. And we can hear those words, but I think it's more than just hearing. It's how we hear. We hear with a willingness to obey and follow what God has said for us to do in our life. Proverbs 19 and verse 27 says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err from the truth, from the words of knowledge. And then Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so it's going to cost something to acquire wisdom, God's wisdom. But it is well worth it to put in the time, to spend that time, to invest that time in the Word of God, studying what the Scriptures have to say about how we are to live, how we are to speak. You read through the book of Proverbs, and it's full of direction and how to speak and what not to say, how to live and how to walk and what not to do in your behavior, how we relate to others. That's all going to be profitable time for us as we look into God's word. Wise people do not spend time listening to foolishness and lies. They're careful about what they read, what they listen to, and what they see and what they talk about in daily conversation. It's important to keep the trash of the world out of our minds, that which displeases God. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. And that's going to take a discipline for all of us. Those who are wise are going to profit from being rebuked, as well as from the advice that we receive that is biblical. They don't think highly of themselves to the point where they can't learn from others. We're seeking to guide them and lead them in truth. So we are to listen to instruction. That's the first aspiration that you and I need to cultivate and continue to cultivate. Because you and I on this side of heaven, and even in heaven, we're not gonna know it all. We have much more to learn. Fear the Lord. That's the second one. Verse 7 of Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fearing the Lord, I believe that means respecting Him so that our response is a willing obedience to what He commands. And we seek to honor His name. We revere Him. We give Him the honor and the worth-ship that He deserves. It's the opposite of tempting the Lord by deliberately disobeying Him and daring Him to intervene in your life. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:27 says, is a fountain of life. A fountain of life. And boy, don't we need that kind of thirst quencher in our life? The fear of the Lord, it gives security. It leads to life as well. And these are some of the verses that go with those thoughts. It brings hope. And it gives the promise of long life. And so when you fear the Lord, your priorities are straight. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. I'm going to read that one. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Our priorities are going to be straight. We're not going to be looking to gain things for ourselves. Rather, we're going to be willing to be content with what the Lord gives to us on a daily basis. We steer clear of evil as well in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. So in going back to Proverbs 22 and verse 1, in seeking to choose a good name. Now, you had no choice in the matter when you came into this world. But you do have a choice on the reputation that your name is displaying. And that is the important part of that verse. We need to demonstrate a fear of the Lord. The third aspiration is to associate with wise people. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, this doesn't mean that by osmosis you're going to be wise if you walk with wise people. All right, that's not the tenor of that. But it means that you are in step with what they are doing based on what God has said. You're walking biblically with them. You probably have heard this phrase. I may have said it here often. He who runs with wolves learns to howl. Well, just the opposite is true as well. If we walk with the wise, if we're seeking to follow what God has said in their example as well as what we want to display as well, then we're going to be wise. We're not going to be foolish. And I think that's the downfall of many individuals, young and old. It's a pattern of life that's going to follow them all through this life if they're walking with foolish people, if they're going along with the crowd, so to speak. And I think one of the best ways to walk with the wise is to read about church history. Where's Jeff Straub when we need him? He'd say amen to that. And also with Christian biographies. And our library up there is a great source. There's a good supply of books that will be a great challenge to you in your walk of faith as you read the examples of missionaries and Christian leaders and so forth. We can thank the Lord for their faithful example of godly men and women in the past. They continually challenge us with their testimonies. So choose those good names to learn from on how to live a life pleasing and honoring to the Lord. There's a fourth aspiration, and it's this. Preserve what you have learned and use it. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. It says, wise men lay up knowledge. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise men lay up knowledge. In other words, they preserve what they have learned, and they're going to use it wisely. If we store God's wisdom in our hearts, then that wisdom will come out when we speak, and others will be helped rather than hindered. So let's not waste what we gain, but rather use this treasure. And this is a great treasure, is it not? God's word. Let's use this treasure to honor the Lord and be a blessing to others. So preserve what you have learned and use it to be a blessing to others and to be honoring to the Lord. Number five, flee from sin. And these are just principles we find in the book of Proverbs. We could look in other places as well, but we find them here. Verse 16, where it says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. There's an arrogance there. Boy, don't we see that in great numbers in our world today. Arrogant, the arrogance of the fools who are scorning and mocking God's word and God's truth. But the wise flee from sin. Where does the confidence of the fool lead him? In this verse it says, to destruction. Joshua was self-confident and lost a battle. Samson was self-confident and became a prisoner. Peter was self-confident and betrayed his Lord three times. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Some people say there's safety in numbers. Some truth to that depends on the circumstance and the situation. But there may be more safety in Exodus. We are to flee. What did Paul say to Titus or to Timothy? Flee also youthful lusts. There's a time to do that, and it's always right to flee from sin. Number six, discipline your speech. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. In verse 23 of the 16th chapter, where he says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Boy, we need to school our mouth. And it begins with the heart, doesn't it? For out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaks. And so we are to saturate our heart with God's word. I think it's Psalm 119. Verse 9, which says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? And that would apply to young ladies as well as old men and old ladies as well. Wherewithal shall an individual cleanse his or her way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So discipline your speech. James talks about a perfect man who's able to master his tongue. And the tongue is a world of iniquity. It brings about a lot of destruction when it's uncontrolled and undisciplined. So discipline your speech. It's a wise thing to do. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. I wanted to read this one as well. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is little worth. So God's word has a lot to say about the dynamics and the dangers of our speech. Those who are wise, those who choose and desire a good name, a faithful, godly reputation, you're going to be careful to realize the power of the tongue, the power of your words. Death and life, there's that power in our words. And we need to bring glory and praise to the Lord and edify and build up others with our speech. Number seven, diligence in your work. Verse 4, he that becomes poor, that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. We are to be diligent in our work. Your reputation follows you where you work. And as a Christian, we need to have the mindset, yes, you're under an employer who has employed you, But you are also under the Lord, and we're to serve Him as our master. And doing so, I believe, is going to be a great benefit to your employer. They're going to see, hey, there's an individual who is working honestly, diligently, for the benefit of this company. They may not understand or see that you're doing it for the Lord, first of all, but they're going to see there's a bit of benefit to that company. And we need to be demonstrating that even more so in this world, because there's a lack of diligence here in the workforce. Diligence, laziness, key topics in the book of Proverbs. You remember the chapter that says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. What do? They store up their food in the summertime, preparing for the difficult time ahead. And God desires us to be diligent, hardworking people who care to give our best to Him and to others, rather than the leftovers of our energy and time. Number 8, seek to impact the lives of others. Turn with me to Proverbs 11, verse 30. If we're seeking to have a godly testimony, we need to seek to impact the lives of others. Where it says here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. That word win means to capture as a prey. So wise people seek to capture the ignorant and the disobedient by doing what? By sharing God's wisdom with them. By confronting them with the truth of God's word. And showing them that there is good news for them. This is what Jesus Christ did for them. He died on the cross for their sin. And he said to his disciples, you remember what he said? He said, follow me and I will make you to become what? Fishers of men. They knew how to catch fish, but they needed to learn how to catch men, to win people to Christ. By our lives and by our words, we need to seek to lead others to Jesus Christ. These are the aspirations of an individual who desires to have a godly testimony before a watching world and before the Lord Himself. Because we do want to be able to stand before the Lord someday and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have displayed a godly testimony. Is it going to be a perfect testimony? Probably not. But it is a testimony that has been focused upon pleasing the Lord and not men. And putting these aspirations into the life as well. Are you cultivating that godly testimony daily? If you truly aspire to that, I think that these are the areas of life that you're going to seek to cultivate in your life. A good name, this is a different translation, but a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:1 is a great challenge to us all as believers, that we are to display a godly testimony before a watching world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend being challenged from your word and how to live a life that pleases you. And I pray, Lord, that we would have this kind of testimony, that we pleased you, because this would be following the example not only of Enoch of old, but also the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was said of him that he did all those things at all times to please his heavenly Father. And may that be upon our heart and life each day. Lord, I want to please you today in my words, my thoughts, my actions, my decisions, my priorities. May all of that bring honor and glory to your great name. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve, let's sing one more verse of Walk Worthy of the Lord. You don't need to come, Maggie. I think he can just lead us. in that, and then we'll take some prayer requests if you have some, and go to prayer.
Page number 510. Walk worthy of the Lord. All right.
Walk worthy of the Lord. Come, give your heart to Christ. Live always bearing fruit for Him. Live strengthened by His might. Walk worthy of the Lord. All power to His name. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Walk worthy of the Lord.
Any quick prayer requests that you may have you'd like to share with us before we go to prayer? I've shared several already at the beginning of the service. Anybody? Well, let's continue to pray for the Ukrainian believers, the conflict that's going on over there. Pray for the strife that's going on in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. And let's pray for our country and our leaders. We've been commanded to do so. Pray for those